Welcome to Parents' Perspective. It was quiet in 15-year-old Meg's room. No music blaring, no telephone conversation, nothing. Her mom, Sarah, knocked on her door. No answer. Meg, I promised we could go shopping for your dress for the dance, and I just finished the laundry, so let's get going. Silence. I don't have all day, sweetie, but I can go now. Silence. Finally, Sarah cracked open her daughter's door and saw her lying on her bed, staring vacantly toward the ceiling. What's the matter, Meg? Are you feeling sick? Sarah sat down on the bed and felt her daughter's forehead with the back of her arm. No, I'm okay, Meg replied and turned her back to her mom. I just don't want to go, that's all.
You don't want to go?
Sarah exclaimed.
You've been discussing this for weeks. Why all of a sudden don't you want to go get your dress?
Nothing will fit, Meg announced firmly. I'm just too fat.
Oh, sweetie, you're just a little chubby. There'll be lots of pretty things for you to try. You'll see.
Meg turned over to face her mom, tears streaking down her cheeks.
Face it, Mom. You've got a fat daughter. I'm not going to the dance.
From a parent's perspective, how can we help our overweight teenage girls? I'm Sandy Burt.
And I'm Linda Perlis. Our guest has been working with teen issues for over 15 years. Dr. Susan Bartel is a psychologist who specializes in helping preteen and teen girls and their parents. Her book, Dr. Susan's Girls Only Weight Loss Guide, The Easy, Fun Way to Look and Feel Good, was written with the help of a dozen teenage girls addressing such crucial issues as self-esteem, social problems, depression, and family stress. Dr. Bartel is the mother of a 12-year-old son and 8 and 10-year-old daughters. Welcome to Parents' Perspective.
Thank you, Linda and Sandy. I'm so thrilled to be here today to talk about this important topic.
What makes weight issues for girls different from weight issues for boys?
There's a very big difference. First of all, I think that society in general is much less tolerant of overweight girls. There are enormous media pressures that girls see that boys don't see from TV, from movies, from fashion, intense pressures for them to be thin, for them to be super skinny. I think that in addition, the fashions that are out there for girls really are for very thin girls, and there's very little out there, like you talked about in your story about Meg. She's right that there really aren't that many great, fabulous fashions for girls to wear, and their peers aren't that tolerant of overweight girls, and I don't think that boys care as much about it.
When you spoke to girls about weight and weight loss, what was their most common mindset?
Girls feel like they have to be skinny. They feel that if they're not skinny, their lives aren't going to be perfect. They feel like boys won't like them. Teenage girls just feel like things are hopeless. They don't think that they can fit in. They just really feel that it's absolutely so critical for them to be thin, and they don't necessarily know how to get there. They just are so desperate to be at a place and don't know how to make it to that place.
Do you think that some of them have very unrealistic goals in terms of wishing they were thin?
I think that they do. Their goals are often to be a body type that they can't be. So in their minds, the body type that they have is this very thin, skinny, athletic, long-legged, kind of bony body type. That for many of them, even if they were at their thinnest, they wouldn't look like that. And they're striving to be that.
By the way, do teenage boys value that kind of body type, or is it something that's been an overlay from the media and other stuff?
It's such a great question, Sandy. You know, boys that I speak to, and I see lots of them, come into my office and they tell me all the time that they don't like girls who are super skinny. They like girls who have some curves to their body. They like girls who are sort of average looking. In terms of their shape, even in terms of their look, that they are actually threatened by girls who are too perfect. And girls don't realize that.
Isn't that interesting? And when you think about it, I don't know who said this, but somebody said that the big-time movie stars of 20 or 40 years ago would never make it today because they would be considered too heavy.
That's right. I think that's absolutely true. They're very curvy, much more sort of voluptuous, and in some ways, I think, from the teenage boys that talk to me, much more what boys and even men are attracted to, that the really skinny look almost to them feels boyish. It doesn't feel feminine, and it feels something too sort of different from what they feel a girl or a woman should be in their adolescent ways.
Would you give us a frequent weight loss scenario for a teenage girl?
Yes, a frequent weight loss scenario, and I'm saying this without making it a recipe because it's not a recipe for success, is I hate my body. I can't stand it. I'm going on diet today. This is it. I'm not eating another thing except for carrots and celery and cottage cheese. No carbohydrates, and I'm drinking diet soda. Go out, Mom, and buy me 10 gallons of diet soda. That's a frequent weight loss scenario. And I'm going to do that until I weigh 105 pounds.
And does it work?
Of course not. Not only does it work.
How long does it last?
Right. It lasts about 10 minutes, give or take a day. And then they can't do it anymore. And what happens, and this is really the serious note, what happens is they start so desperately to miss the foods that they crave that they eventually will binge. They'll go off their diet and they'll go to the refrigerator or go to the closet or go to the store and start buying up and eating up all the junk food they can possibly find that they have deprived themselves of for whatever time they were able to sustain this weight loss plan.
How can parents help to break this loss and gain cycle without encouraging the development of an eating disorder?
Right, and that's the key, is to make sure that their girls don't become eating disordered, because sometimes moms and dads, and really a lot of times moms, will encourage unhealthy eating without realizing that they're doing it. Sometimes they'll say things like Sarah said to Meg, like, you're just a little chubby. And she meant well. I'm sure she meant well, but the message she's giving to Meg is, your body's not good enough. And it does look to other people like you're chubby or fat. And so instead of doing that, what moms and dads need to do is they need to speak about health to their daughters. They need to speak about what you put into your body that's going to fuel your body to be healthy, and not talk about being overweight, and not talk about being chubby or fat or any of those other words that we talk about. They need to make sure that they have foods in the house that their kids can eat, that are healthy foods, and that they aren't stocked up on all the junk food that, you know, typically we find in our closets. And they need to not tell their kids not to eat any junk food at all. It's okay to eat some junk food, but it's okay also to learn how to read labels and eat portions that are smaller portions.
What kinds of things are good to have in the house?
It's great to have lots of healthy proteins, low-fat milk, cheeses, yogurts, chicken, turkey, meat, fish, all the great proteins. Even protein bars are great for girls to eat, and they love those, especially the ones that are kind of marketed to girls and women. Teenage girls love those, and a lot of them are very healthy and a great thing to keep in your backpack when you go to school, so that if you're starving, you won't reach for a bag of cookies. You'll reach for something that has some good protein in it instead. And to not keep as many sodas, even diet sodas. You know, there's a new law now about sodas being taken off the shelves in schools. And while that's great, it's wonderful, so many parents are still stocking their homes with sodas, so the kids won't get them in school anymore, but they'll just get them out of the refrigerator. Moms and dads need to really make sure to not keep that stuff at home, except in small quantities that, you know, kids can eat once in a while.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to continue our discussion on weight loss for girls.
Washington, D.C. with Kids, an excellent book by authors Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis, is available at all major bookstores and on the web.
Welcome back to Parents' Perspective. We are talking with Dr. Susan Bartel about weight loss for girls.
What other kinds of things should be around the house besides protein?
Carbohydrates, healthy carbohydrates. It's definitely not great to tell your child to go on a no, you know, carbohydrate diet or no fat diet. Teenagers in particular, girls and boys, need a huge range of all nutrients. So they shouldn't go on any of the diets that are out there for adults that are low carb, low fat, you know, low this, low that. So they need to keep a variety of good carbohydrates, you know, wheat breads and crackers, whole wheat pastas if they can get their kids to eat them. But just in general, healthy vegetables and fruits, of course, all the things that we know are healthy that we don't always take the extra step to go and buy for our kids.
There are cereals that you can use as wonderful snacks, the little tiny shredded wheats or shredded wheat bran, or those kinds of cereals that are very high in nutrition, very low in calories.
Yes.
You can put in a baggie.
take that along as
absolutely.
A snack.
Absolutely. And in fact, my kids just recently started making their own school lunches. We decided we just didn't want to make school lunch three mm-hmm. times, you know, four nights a week or five nights a week. And one of the things they started to do, even without, you know, us suggesting it, was to do exactly what you're mm-hmm. saying, to take the healthy cereals, the wheat cereals and, you know, Cheerios, and mm-hmm. put them in little snack baggies and put them in their lunchbox as part of their snack. And one of my daughters even discovered that milk is free at lunch in school, even if you're not a hot lunch buyer. So she takes a little container of cereal and gets her milk, and she has that for lunch,
great.
Which
That's
I think
good.
Is fabulous.
Suppose you have a girl who's trying to watch her weight, and she has the normal, ravenous, starving teenage brother.
Right.
How do you stock a household to deal with both of those kinds of people?
Great question. I think that parents sometimes have that ravenous, you know, growing brother, and they feel like, well, since he's growing so fast and he needs so much to eat, that it's okay for him to eat whatever he wants. But in fact, just because he's a growing kid doesn't mean it's okay for him to eat the junk food any more than it is for his sister. So you need to stock your house the same way, and that what he'll do is he'll eat larger portions, or he'll eat more often. He'll eat every hour, as opposed to every 3 hours. But it doesn't mean he should be eating foods that are empty calories or that are junk foods just because he's growing. And he needs to learn that as well, because it's possible that at some point in his life when he stops growing, that his metabolism will slow down, and then suddenly he'll have a weight problem. So he needs to hear the healthy food and home messages just like his sister does.
Dr. Bartel, is there a way a teenage girl's family can adopt an eating style for the whole family that will help her lose weight but not starve the other family members?
Yeah, and that's a really important thing to figure out how to do, because sometimes what happens is parents can't sustain the healthy eating when it doesn't apply to everyone, not only to that growing brother, but to the four-year-old picky, you know, preschooler, or to the father who only wants meat and potatoes. So it is important to come up with a way that everyone is happy. And the way you do that is by making sure that you have a variety of foods. And sometimes in some families, even though a lot of people don't agree with this, it's okay to cook more than one meal. It's okay if your daughter needs to eat a certain amount of protein and certain types of food that are going to support her attempts to lose weight. It's okay to make different food for her and to make different food for, you know, for you and for a different food, maybe not three or four meals, but it's okay to have a couple of different meals and not feel that you're doing something wrong as a parent. Because some parents feel like everyone has to eat the same food. But if everyone has special needs, you need to meet their needs sometimes.
When we have guests at our home, for example, who are really strict vegetarians, then I just make more dishes at that meal.
That's a great idea.
And I think that you can do that.
Yes.
The problem comes with keeping the ones you don't want the daughter to eat at the other end of the table.
Right. And sometimes you can't do that. So sometimes you have to support her by making sure that the foods you're cooking are foods that she'll like. And you may have to come up with a plan where some nights a week one person gets to choose and some nights a week another person gets to choose. But I think that that's a good way to handle it and to talk to her in advance of the meal. And again, your goal isn't to forbid her from eating the delicious, you know, bad for you foods. Your goal is to help her to learn to have a smaller portion of that food and to balance it with other foods. Because when she leaves your table and she goes out into the world, to school, to a party, to college, to a sleepover at a friend's house, she has to be able to do that without you watching her.
Now, what about involving the daughter or the son or whoever in helping to cook?
I love that idea. That's such a great idea. And, you know, I have one of my daughters who's 10, loves to cook. And she's a fabulous cook, actually. And one of the things that is really helping her to eat healthily and to become healthier is to see what she's cooking and to make sure that what she's putting into the meal is healthy food. So it's really a great way to get kids to buy into healthy eating when they've cooked it themselves. It's also a great way to get them to see how hard you work when you're cooking.
Well, and I guess taking that back a step, if we could get the kids interested in grocery shopping, then they have to read the labels.
Absolutely. And a lot of kids, even starting as young as 4 or 5, are very interested in grocery shopping. And what I see happening sometimes is you go to the supermarket with your little kid and you stick them in the, you know, the child seat, and you have half an hour to get the grocery shopping done before you have to go home for the school bus to meet the other one. And you're rushing through and you're rushing through, and you're not giving your child a chance to really shop with you because you're stressed out. So what's a much better idea is to actually make grocery shopping an activity. to do with your kids and to take the time to compare labels. And you can't do it every single time, but you could do it once a month. You could do it, you know, on the weekends once a month. And I definitely do that with my kids where I'm teaching them. Sometimes even if I don't take them shopping with me, I have them help me bring it in from the car, which serves two purposes because then they have to, as they're unpacking it and putting it in the shelves, I tell them to look, I bought this new thing, look at the label, compare it to the thing that we had last week that wasn't quite as healthy, or, you know, we're trying this new vegetable today. And there are different ways, in addition to food shopping, to help engage them in the process of becoming more aware. I've taken my measuring cups down from the high up baking shelf and put them in accessible areas so that they can measure out their cereal that they're going to put in their Ziploc bag to take to school and know what a serving size looks like. Because when you start doing that with your kids when they're younger, by the time they get to be teenagers, it's already sort of embedded in them that a serving size is that far up in the bowl and not, you know, that far up in the bowl, which is double the amount of an actual serving size. And they're much more aware of how to eat healthily. That a, you know, slice of pizza is one serving, not three slices of pizza. And you can do it with little kids as well. Using plastic foods or using items around your house, you can collect them and you can give them to your kids and let them really see what a serving size looks like because they need to learn that. In order for them to go out in the world and not have you need to be there talking to them about it and showing them and watching them all the time, they need to learn it for themselves.
Do you tell girls when they go to restaurants or that kind of thing to figure out what the size is, then cut their serving into whatever and take the other part and put it somewhere far away from
you
their
sprinkle
plate?
A lot of pepper all over it and you won't eat it.
You do that. Yes, you sprinkle pepper. Or I had a situation once with a friend of mine where we were at a restaurant and I had finished eating what I decided was my serving size of French fries because you don't want to eat too many of those. And she took a glass of water and dumped them all over my French fries so she wouldn't eat them. I said, what if I wanted more? She said, well, sorry. And sometimes with teenage girls, what they do is they go out with friends and they'll divide between them mm-hmm. a main course because sometimes, especially at, say, Italian restaurants or diners, the servings are huge. Mm-hmm. And if they split it, they don't eat too much, and they save money because teenagers are always on a budget, and this way they can split an appetizer mm-hmm. and they can split a main course, and they feel very good about that.
It's a good way to save money.
Right.
Terrific. Are there certain indications or characteristics that are beneficial to a girl who's trying to lose weight?
There are. Certainly if you have a daughter who is energetic, who's motivated to exercise, that is a great trait to encourage, which sometimes parents do. Sometimes they really do encourage it, but sometimes they don't. Sometimes our lifestyles get so busy that we don't fit in time for our kids, especially teenagers, to exercise or to play the sport that they want to play or to do an activity that's a body-moving activity, which is so critical for kids who are trying to lose weight. If you have a child who is a motivated kind of child in other areas of their life, that is a great trait for kids to have that you can really tap into as a parent to teach them how to take that motivation and channel it into losing weight if they need to lose weight. If you have a child who's a very interested in learning kind of child, you can take that interest, that passion for learning, and start to teach them about nutrition, about healthy lifestyles. And they can really, you know, as you would as an adult, benefit from learning those. So there are lots of traits that parents sometimes don't realize could sort of be tapped into to healthy eating and weight loss.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to finish our discussion on weight loss for girls.
For an audio CD of any parent's perspective show, send a check or money order for $10 with your name, address, and phone number to Parents Perspective, P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C., 20015.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We're talking with Dr. Susan Bartel about weight loss for girls. As a teenager, at one point, I was in a race with a friend. This was not a physical race. This was a race to lose weight. The friend was a male who would lose and gain very rapidly, but he was trying to help me. So we had this competition going on. And I cut out all carbohydrates. That's how I was going to lose weight. I had no guidance on this, especially. My mother, meantime, was beside herself. I was going to get sick. You can't do this. You have to eat a half a baked potato if you won't eat the whole thing. Nope. I was eating no carbohydrates whatsoever. So she called my doctor behind my back, and he said, let her do it. It's not going to last very long. She's going to get very hungry. But when she does get hungry, make sure you have in the house the kind of carbohydrates you want her to eat. And so it was okay. I mean, this fellow let me win. The dumb thing was that the celebration was a whole bunch of our friends all went out for ice cream. That was a tough thing. But we hadn't had any ice cream in a long time.
But you had a smart mother.
Yeah, she was
who called the doctor. Because sometimes moms don't call the doctor. Yeah. And then some girls don't end up resolving it the way you did. They end up with an eating disorder. They deprive themselves of carbohydrates, then they deprive themselves of fat, then they deprive themselves of protein, and they wind up very ill. So yes. Your mom was smart not to make that decision for herself, and your doctor might have been smart. It turned out that he was because it resolved itself, but it doesn't always resolve itself.
No, it doesn't.
And so parents need to hear that not all girls come around and jump back onto a sort of healthy, normal eating patterns. Some of them just keep going and going and become anorexic.
I think it's better for them to have a book like yours and some guidance. This is how you can lose weight. You want to lose weight? You feel you need to lose weight? This is the wise way to do it. And I'll let you do it this way. I'll help you.
Right. Absolutely. And I get lots of girls emailing me. I have a website, girlsonlyweightloss.com, and the girls email me unbelievable questions about wanting to be healthier, about how to do it, about how do I get ready for my prom? My prom, I'm getting a lot of prom questions now on the website. My prom is in 2 weeks. Can I lose 20 pounds in 2 weeks? I have to because I bought a size 6 dress. No, you can't, and it's not healthy for you to try. And I'm getting emails from moms. My daughter is desperately trying to get into her bikinis that she bought herself, and she has stopped eating everything. Is it okay for her to be doing that? No, it's not okay for her to be doing that, and you need to help her to see what's realistic and what isn't realistic. Yeah. But there really is an enormous need for information from girls, from moms in particular, from dads as well, but a lot of times from moms.
What about this business that's touted, these breakfast shakes or these things where you don't have to eat anything, you just drink this thing twice a day or three times a day or something?
I think it's fine to have a shake once a day if it's a well-balanced shake. Or, you know, we were talking before about bars. If it's a well-balanced bar with protein and carbohydrates and some fat in it, it's okay to do that as a meal substitute once a day as long as your doctor approves of it. But to do it all day instead of food is not good and is not healthy for kids. But it's okay to do it as long as it's enough calories for one meal a day. I think it's fine.
Does it help if one of the parents is also trying to lose weight? Is that a help for the child, or is it a hindrance because, oh my goodness, then I've got this other one looking down my shoulder, or maybe this other one's going to lose weight more, or that kind of thing?
It's such a wonderful question. I've had many situations where moms and daughters start to lose weight together. In some cases, it works out beautifully that the mother is able to support the daughter and vice versa. Sometimes what happens, though, is the mom loses weight faster because she's just at a point in her life where she's ready to do it. And the daughter is not quite ready to do it yet, so she isn't able to stick with it. And then her mom loses more weight than she does. And then she feels angry and resentful. And then sometimes the mom gets angry and resentful that the daughter didn't stick with it when the mom did. So it can go both ways. And it's really important for moms or dads, if they're doing it with their daughters, to just be aware that this can happen and that if their daughter isn't ready or if she tries and doesn't succeed, not to make her feel like she failed, to make her understand that it's okay and that, you know, we can try again, that there's never one moment in life that you need to lose weight, that you could keep trying.
In addition to your book, Dr. Susan's Girls Only Weight Loss Guide, what other resources would you suggest for our listeners who want to learn more about some of the issues we've been discussing?
I'm a big fan of the internet, so I'm going to give you some wonderful websites. The one is called kidshealth.org, O-R-G, which is a government website, which has really phenomenal information for teens, a special website for teens within the website, all about healthy issues in every area, including body image, including weight loss, including nutrition. Fabulous resource. Another one is called Focus Adolescent Services, which is focusas.com, which is a clearinghouse website for parents and teenagers. Another one is teenagerstoday.com, which is part of iParenting Network, which is also a wonderful resource for parents with all sorts of great information and articles. And then the last one is called blubberbuster.com, which is a really interesting, fabulous website. It's all about interactive internet weight loss. It's a program that helps teenagers to lose weight with the help of a scale that is hooked into their computer. And it's a really unusual and very interesting, because they can do it anonymously. They have chats every week where teenagers can go on and are moderated with a nutritionist to talk to each other. It's a really wonderful, interesting program that I learned about recently.
What a wonderful
idea.
They
don't have to stand on the computer, right?
No. The scale is somehow hooked into their computer, and they get feedback, and they get support from real nutritionists. Lots of articles on the website, very supportive,
but
healthy.
But very private.
Very private, very nice. And just very unique. Yeah. And because teenagers are so internet-based now, because their whole world is moving online, it's very much in line with the way teenagers function and think these days.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, this has certainly been a big help for adults who are trying to figure out how to function for teenager.
Yes.
So, Dr. Susan Bartel, thank you so much for sharing your expertise with us and helping us to learn more about how we can help girls and teenagers to lose weight.
Thank you, Sandy and Linda. It's great being here.
Our gift for our first caller is an autographed copy of Dr. Susan's Girls Only Weight Loss Guide. Just call us toll-free at 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. That's 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address, and please spell anything that's not obvious. That's a big help to us. Please mention show number 300 and tell us, if you can, what station you're listening to. Since we air all over the world, it's fun to know where you are tuning in. Our latest book, Washington, D.C. with Kids, is available in all major bookstores and on the web.
To learn more about Parents Perspective, visit our website, www.parentsperspective.org. That's www.parentsperspective.org. At the site, you can even hear a show at any time. Just scroll down to the topic or guest of your choice and click onto the words Listen to Podcast below. This is Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis. We're glad you could share Parents' Perspective. Our sound engineer is Damon Fisher. Music for this program was composed and performed by Jonathan Burt.